welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I am Rashawn Parker, and I have a lovely guest today named Annie, who has a lovely podcast called Intuitively Rich with Annie Rich. She loves all things positive and just, you know, making the world a brighter place even with her smile. If you haven't already, please go check out my television show, Beyond the Check, Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's free TV. Anyway, hi, Annie.
Hi.
How are you?
Phenomenal, as I told you in the beginning, I'm phenomenal. I just had a dense moment before I had this interview or conversation or whatever. So I'm feeling phenomenal.
Yay. Well, it's you're coming to me from, I'm in Georgia, United States. You are in the other Georgia.
In the country of Georgia in the Eastern Europe.
What town are you in Georgia?
I'm in the capital, Tbilisi.
Is where?
It's called Tbilisi and it's a capital of Georgia.
Tbilisi.
Yes, it's so hard for the people in the United States to say like T and like B together because it's like Tbilisi.
Tbilisi.
So it's always good. Tbilisi, yes.
Tbilisi. I think I did it.
Yes.
Tbilisi. It's like saying Tbilisi, but you say it really fast. And it's Tbilisi.
Yes, it's like Tbilisi.
Yeah. It's a tongue twister. So what's the weather like over in, on that side of the world right now?
Right now, it's a little bit getting colder because we have all the four seasons. But the winter is not as cold as when I lived in the United States. For a little while, I lived in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's
and
cold.
There, the winter is cold. Like, that's cold, cold. Here, it gets cold, but you can still walk outside. You can still enjoy the weather.
That's nice. So you have, are you like on the same seasons as we are? Or is it a little off?
No, we have... In Georgia? Do you mean in Georgia or in the United States?
In Georgia compared to like the United States.
In Georgia, it's so much warmer. Oh, in your Georgia, it's so much warmer than my Georgia.
Oh, very warm and if too hot.
Yes.
Humid. Humid.
I lived in Florida. Last place I lived in the United States was Florida, so it's really close to Georgia. So it must be like, not the same, but like similar weathers.
It's actually more humid in Georgia than it is in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, I know. People come up from Florida and they're like, oh my God, it's so humid. And I'm like, you're from Florida. And they're like, no, this is worse.
Wow.
Really? So yeah, somehow. Yes. I think it's because it's not quite as coastal. You know, like Florida has all the coast, but who knows? But so you, does it still snow there? Because we just started getting snow here.
It snows here, not right now, but we also have a winter resort in Georgia. And you go skiing and there always snows there. Not in the capital. Every winter we don't get the snow in the capital, but we get it in like another city, which is like the ski resort. So we still get to ski and enjoy the snow and sun and friends.
You get everything, everything.
Everything.
Everything. So tell me a little bit about your podcast real quick. So I actually got to be a guest on yours, and it was a very lovely, lovely time. You want to tell everyone what you do?
In terms of podcast or in general?
Podcast, general.
Okay. So the podcast, actually the idea of the podcast was just for me. It was a selfish intention at first because I have a book, I'm a writer, and I write so much better in English than I was talking. So I decided to just start this podcast and I'm going to talk about the topics that I'm writing and I'm just going to like enjoy it and become better at it. And you know, these things, you know, it the best. You just start something and then it shows you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just felt like I was ready to have guests in my show because I was so curious. I'm a curious person. I wanted to share the platform and learn from these people. It's a selfish intention as well because I want to learn first from the people and then I want my audience to learn from these people too. So it's about all aspects of life. Mostly it's about like a spirituality, but spirituality is part of life as well. And all aspects of life is part of spirituality. So it's about life in general.
It's anything and everything really that has to do with life.
Everything. Yes, anything.
And getting through it positively. You're positively getting through it.
I'm trying. I don't think that you can always be positive, but I think that you can look at things in a positive way, meaning like if you are going through a challenging time, even knowing that you are going to go through this and come out stronger, I think for me it's also a positive way of looking at the things.
Oh, yeah, of course. What's the title of your book?
It's called Back to Yourself.
Back to Yourself by yes. Annie Rich. Where can we
find it?
They can
find it on Amazon. It's on Amazon, so they can just type Back to Yourself by Annie Rich, and also they can go on my website and they can just easily find it there.
All right, so you're a very lucky girl in that you get to have your grandmother very, very close to you, which means, and she's a cook, yeah?
She cooks for you. She also is a cook. She also was a cook and she also cooks the food, but the story of why she cooks is another interesting story as well. But she cooks every single day, even if she's alone, even if I'm going there or no, she just cooks phenomenal food, like phenomenal food.
Most people don't get to eat their grandparents cooking or even their parents cooking, you know, on any sort of regular basis once they're adults. And I think we miss out on home cooking. You know, you hear people say, oh man, I haven't had an actual home cooked meal since I don't know when, right?
I was raised on home cooked meals every single day, different meals.
Again,
every single day.
You are a very, very lucky girl.
I am a very, 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 very lucky girl.
So I'm curious now, though, to hear your grandmother's story. You want to tell me your grandmother's story?
So until she was, I think, 28 years old, she couldn't even cook an egg, not even a meal. Like, she wasn't able, she didn't know how to cook food.
Nothing.
And
28.
Nothing. 28. She's six. She will be 70 next month. Oh my God. And then she got married to her second husband. And her second husband was an amazing cook. And he, not like on purpose, but when he would go out and come back, he would say like, oh, I ate this food at my sister's. It was amazing. Oh, I ate this food there. And she's a very curious person. And she was like, okay, just look at me. I'm going to learn how to cook. And one day you will come at home and you will tell me that I ate the food, but no food is better than the food you cook. She had the intention to make her husband say those words. And she achieved that, actually, because she learned so much and she became she can cook the variety of food. She and her husband would cook like 200 people weddings alone.
What? So she took what was didn't know how to do at all, turned it into a hobby just to be able to get praise from her husband, and then turned it into a business?
Also, it was, the motivation was not a praise. I think it was her ego thing. It's like, I am going to be the woman who cooks for him because I can do that. And she's a very curious person. And she didn't put... It wasn't a business for her because in Georgia, it's like a community. People always cooked for each other. People always cooked weddings together. And every time, like, people would, like, call each other, you know, and they would go with their knives and, like, help. So it was, especially before in my grandmother's time, it was very, like, community-based. And everyone would help each other out. And everyone would bring cakes or food to each other. So that was, like... normal.
So a wedding in Georgia was traditionally more like a potluck? Do you know what a potluck
let
is?
Let me think. I know it was when people bring food.
Yeah. In a loose term, they probably got together and all cooked together too, right?
I think it was not like always like everyone brings food there, but whoever could cook very well would right. bring something.
Right.
It like they would say, like they would say, you know, I know that you make like amazing khajapuri, for example, to Georgian food. So you bring khajapuri. And if someone could cook an amazing cake, they would say, like, you bring the cake. And whatever the family could cook, they would cook by themselves. So it was kind of like that, but not like, right. not like it's different. You know, everyone brings food.
Whatever they wanted. But this is more handpicked. Yeah. Like, we know you make the best wings.
Exactly.
You know, I know that you have the best stew. And you over there with the best little cupcakes.
Uh-huh.
You said a couple things in there that I have no idea what they were. Like the food itself.
Khajapuri?
That. Yes. What is that?
So khajapuri is like amazing. And I should have sent you before the picture of Georgian like table with the food. Because if you see, first of all, it's beautiful because we take big responsibility to present the food beautifully. Some of the food doesn't look good for Americans because some of the sweets that we have and some of them have like weird lookings, but majority of the food should be beautiful and beautifully presented. Khajapuri is basically a cheese in the dough, but the cheese in Georgia is different than in United States. So it tastes different, it smells different, it looks different, the texture is different. And it's like melting. It's, oh my God, I just got hungry.
You're about to go to bed. You can't get hungry now.
You make the dough from scratch. And you make your cheese with eggs and all of that. And then you put it in the dough and you bake it on the pan.
Mm, that sounds good for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yes. We have a lot of doughy food in Georgia.
So have you learned from your grandmother? Or have you been inspired yes. to try to cook at all?
I love cooking. And people actually like really enjoy my cooking. I'm not cooking every single day as my grandmother is cooking, but I love cooking and I like to improvise, which my grandmother really, I would use this word because she used that word. She hates when people eyeball the recipe and measure that because she knows
really?
Exact measurings. She knows the exact measurements and I always eyeball. I always change the recipe and I always improvise. I usually don't make the same food with the same recipe every single time. And it gets better and better because I'm like, okay, maybe this will taste good with this one. And I just always try new things and improvise. So and that's how I just cook.
It's your generation just trying to break all the rules.
Yes.
Trying to improvise, getting crazy with it.
Yes.
You're like, I wanted to put a little cinnamon in the khajapuri, just like, you know, maybe.
Yes, first time I put like cinnamon in the eggs when I was like frying the egg, I was like, wasn't expecting. I personally really enjoyed it.
Cinnamon?
You know, like I just
like cinnamon fried egg?
No, like little bit of cinnamon, not too much, right. A little bit of cinnamon and spicy. Also a black pepper and red pepper, but Georgian red pepper and little bit of cinnamon. But not on top of it while you are like, is it called whisking?
Whisking, yes.
Yes, whisking the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour it. And I like to add like little chopped green onions inside.
Oh, yeah, that actually sounds quite lovely.
And butter.
And but will your grandmother eat them?
She would eat them. It's just like the way I make food, it's like because she believes that you have to follow the recipe, you know?
No. What's a recipe?
And not for the eggs. There is no recipe for the eggs, but for majority of the food. And obviously, there are some recipes that I follow because for the cake or, for example, I loved to bake this, it was called vegan Brazilian cheese breads. And it was made with tapioca flour and it was with potato. So it was vegan, but cheese breads, you know? And everyone just loved it. Everywhere I brought it, it was just like people went crazy. They would never believe me that it's like vegan and there's potato instead of cheese.
I keep hearing about, I've heard from so many people and I keep getting all these new crazy, totally vegan dishes that are just like mind-blowing. And I started out thinking like how it's so difficult really to find that one person who knows how to like make vegan things really good. But turns out there's a fuck ton of them. I talked to a lady the other day who wrote a book called Brownies for Breakfast. And it's just like a pumpkin brownie. Like it's chocolate too, but like it's all basically just a pumpkin. It's all, everything's pumpkin. Yeah, some pumpkin, who knew? It's a substitute for all things bread. And and if you want sweet stuff, pumpkin. I don't know. Pumpkin apparently is it's God's food. If you haven't eaten a lot of pumpkin lately, look into it. It's also around Halloween time, so you know.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Do you have Halloween over there? You have All Hallows Eve? Or anything?
It's not ours, but like people somewhere, they have parties here and there, but it's not a big thing because a lot of people are really religious and many people believe like it's against the religion. Whoa. It's not like, we still have it, but not like everyone is celebrating like in the United States, you know, it's not a big thing here. Nobody cares.
It's just a reason to get drunk. That's all it is over here. It's a reason for kids to get high on candy. And adults just to get drunk and put on stupid costumes because, you know, we're not really allowed to do that often. So
yes, Georgian people does not need a reason to drink; they drink every single day.
Well, I mean, yeah. Americans aren't too far off there.
People here, you would not miss a day where you don't see a drunk guy walking in the street.
Oh, I live in Savannah, Georgia. You're allowed to drink in the streets. So there's hundreds of drunk people roaming the streets on a daily basis. Legally, just drinking while in the streets. And it works out. It works out.
And also you can drink and buy an alcohol when you are 18 here.
Oh, yeah?
So it's not like 21. You can still buy alcohol in some small markets if you are less than 18. But in big... Like you can still get, it's not like in the United States. Obviously, there might be few places where you can get, but in the United States, it's very strict.
Oh, yeah.
Here, like, no. Here you can find some places where you can get alcohol before you're 18. Obviously, no one would give it to a kid who looks suspicious, you know, but because so many people send their kids to the stores to buy alcohol for them.
Oh, when I was a kid, like you could like grab a note written by your parents to like go buy them cigarettes, right? And like that would never happen today. Like there was this neighbor kid, and I swear to God, he was like 4 years old, and he was a tiny little kid, and his mother would send him up to this little store called Wickham's, and just like, and he would just walk up with his 20 and walk back with his four packs of cigarettes, and he would smoke them too. He'd open them up, he'd keep a pack for himself, and we're like, dude, like, and she didn't, it was a little, the family was a little trashy, I'm not going to lie, but back then, I was like, you know, the early 90s, back in.
I had no idea that was the case in the United States as well.
Oh, back in the 90s, not now, like,
obviously not now.
You have to be 21 to buy cigarettes now, that I didn't even know that happened for years. I was like, what? When did that happen? Like, 5, 6, 7 years ago? Oh, I thought you still had to be 18. Yeah. You can still go to war, but you can't smoke a cigarette or drink a beer. But
that's weird.
Feel free to go kill people. Totally fine.
Sounds logical.
Welcome to America. Anyway, what was your favorite thing to eat when you were a kid?
Oh my God, so many things. The most funniest thing was that my grandmother used to cook every single day all the variety of foods, and I wanted to eat out as a teenager because I don't know. You know, whatever you have, you don't appreciate as a teenager.
Right, because it's just like, the same old, same old.
Yes, but now I appreciate it so much. The moment I gave birth and I had to cook every single day, I was like, oh my God, grandma, I wish I could eat your food every single day. I love this. It's called like katleti, which is basically a fried patty of the meat.
Like a hamburger?
Like a hamburger, but it's a different shape and tastes differently. It tastes more fresh. And because obviously the ingredients are so much better quality here than in the United States. I couldn't eat anything when I went to United, even the organic food. And then I got, I wasn't able to eat meat for like 3 years when I lived in the United States because my body could not tolerate it. Because
it's just filled with hormones and junk?
Maybe, I don't know. And when I came back, I'm eating meat now.
Do you have a lot of like, you probably don't have like huge meat facilities over there, do you? Like no. Most of the cows are just hanging out in the field until they die, right?
Yes. And a lot of like the milk and cheese and eggs come from the like villages. So it's like, obviously you can find better food in any other, not any, but in some country, but it's really good. Like the quality of the food is really good. So
it's still earthbound, right? It's still all like what my great grandparents would have been eating here in the United States. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, about that. Here,
the strawberries are smaller and like they don't look as beautiful as in the United States. But
oh, you haven't genetically engineered them yet?
Yes, we have not, and they are so beautiful, and they are they are so sweet and soft and easy to digest. It's just right. And I loved the.
I used to pick wild strawberries when I was a kid. They still exist, and they are like tiny and.
Oh, yes, they are wild strawberries too. Mm-hmm. Tiny
stuff. They're very tiny. They're a little bitter, but we used to like you'd like just like soak them in water for a while, and then you'd like put sugar and put them in cereal.
Yes.
They're good. Strawberries.
And I actually love soup, so she would make different kind of soups every week because she believes that you have to eat at least like twice a week soup. She believes that you have to eat the soup every day, but we would eat like soup. We would always have soup as one meal in a day. And she would make different kinds of food. Like,
what was your?
I loved everything. I love everything. You like single
it's
food
just all
made.
So good. All right.
They're all so good.
Do you have a favorite soup recipe?
Recipe.
Or a favorite soup just in general?
Okay, I have it, but it's not like usual.
Okay.
I actually like borscht as well, which is not Georgian, it's Russian. Do you know borscht?
I've heard of borscht. I don't know that I've ever eaten borscht.
Yes, and not every borscht is delicious, because when I used to go to the Russian restaurants in the United States, I would really not enjoy majority of the food there.
Where did you find Russian restaurants?
They are everywhere. Oh my God. If you ever go to Florida, there is this Russian restaurant. It's called Babushka. Babushka is a grandmother on Russian.
Babushka.
And they have one of the most phenomenal Russian and Georgian food. We took our American friend there and he went crazy. He was just like, I have never like tasted so much flavors. He was like, flavor, different flavor, new flavor everywhere.
Babushka. Yeah, Babushka. In Florida, what part of Florida?
I would say like, I don't remember, but
it's okay. Finish what you were going to say.
If you just Google or I can Google it and send you, because I remember I lived in Clearwater and it was 50-minute drive from Clearwater, but I don't remember in which part of the Florida.
But you're like, I know where the best Russian restaurant in America is.
I don't know if I told you, but I did the U.S. tour with a van for 8 months and I saw like 30 states. So I ate a lot of Russian food on the way in different states. And that was in Florida. That was the most amazing Georgian. Like it was even better at the food you eat in Georgia and majority of the restaurants.
Cool. But hold on. You drove across the country. And,
yes.
And not just for this reason, but sent partly in search of just of Russian food across the country. So everywhere, everywhere you went, you were curious to see if you could find it, right? Like, I'm not saying it was like your main mission, but like you looked for it.
Our food. Yes, of course, because Russian stores also hold Georgian foods and Georgian drinks, like the mineral water and stuff. So in every state we lived in Minneapolis, we found the Russian store. In Florida, actually, there was a Russian store like in less than one block from our apartment. It was in a walking distance. So we would just go there every single day and like buy.
Totally. I have no idea. Really. I guess I've never really tried to look.
Yes, you just Google a Russian store. And obviously, there you have to know which food you have to buy. And just like, if you go to the Russian store, people who are listening and they don't enjoy, just try another store or try another food, because not everything is, everything won't taste amazing. And if you don't know how to pick, you might not pick the right dish or food, but there are so many Russian stores all across in the United States. And if you ever go there, just like buy one of the Georgian mineral waters, because it is amazing.
Really? Like just the soda, just the Georgian mineral water, just the soda water.
Yes, it's called Naberlavian Borjomin. It literally comes out of the ground, you know? And then obviously they not add stuff, but what is the word for that?
When because they put bubbles in it.
They just... No, it's... Oh, yes, but I think they put bubbles in it. Or is it bubbly? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't have the exact information to, like, share with people.
But it's delicious.
And it comes out warm. But it's delicious. It is delicious. And it's actually really good for your tummy and digestive system.
Because it's alive, probably.
Yes,
it's live water.
Yes, it yeah. is. It's talking to you.
I have a reverse osmosis machine for our house, and so our water comes out as clear as it can get, right? Like there's no anything in it really by the time it comes out, but it's still dead, right? So in order to like turn it back alive, you have to put it on the mineral rocks, right, and let it hang out with the rocks for a little while. And you rock it out, and then it's then it's live water again. And it helps.
Yes.
And it helps your tummy.
Yes.
So I want to know more about your trip. And I want to actually finish. Let's finish. How borscht? So how do you make a good borscht?
I don't remember the exact recipe, but there are just a lot of vegetables inside: cabbage, carrot. What is it called? Peppers. Red and green peppers. Onion, garlic. My grandmother also puts tomato paste.
Tomato paste.
Yeah, you have to find a really good quality without any like salt, sugar, and all of that stuff. And what is there? Oh, beetroot. The main ingredient is the beetroot.
Okay, that's okay. Beetroot.
Yes.
And that's what gives it that super earthy kind of like flavor too.
Yes. Yeah. And what is it? What is it called? The cilantro and stuff, you know, like
yeah.
What is the general name of
cilantro?
No, like
parsley. You know, like
cilantro, parsley, and is there any name? Yes, is there, because we have a general name when you say like
seasonings.
Seasonings.
Spices.
But it maybe
mix of herbs. I mean,
herbs and spices. I wanted that word. Because you put different herbs inside,
yeah,
and different spices, like Georgian spices, and then it just, we pour a water on it, and it comes out delicious. Cha-cha. And phenomenal.
Voila.
And healthy.
And healthy. Mm-hmm. That all sounds very healthy.
Mm-hmm. We also have eggplant. You cut them, and you fry them, and you put a garlic paste on it.
Mm.
And also you make a paste with walnuts.
So that's where your protein mm-hmm. comes from. What's that called?
It's called Nikuziani Badrijani.
Oh, say it again. Say it again.
It's called Nikuziani Badrijani, which is basically eggplant. It translates walnut-y eggplant.
That's how it translates. Will you say it for me one more time slowly? I want to try to say it. Okay.
Nigvziani. Yes, that's walnutty, and eggplant is badrijani.
Padrijani. You have to roll your tongue to say it. Padrijani.
It's like badrijani.
Padrijani. Oh.
Yes. It was actually really good.
Sounds really good. And yes. Fun to say if you can get it right. I'm not going to try again. Padrijani. You have to, you very exact like lip and tongue work to like say your words.
Yeah, right. Georgian language, we have our own language and our own writing. we have our own writing even. So it's completely different. The language is different and writing is different from any other writing and language.
Ah, geez. Y'all, wow. Okay. You all alone in that one little country.
Yes.
Is it similar to Russian? Like you have at all or no?
No. We have some Russian words because it was part of the Soviet Union. And obviously a lot of people, majority, like I would say everyone spoke Russian in Georgia before. So they just took each other's words, but not each other's words, but like Russian words.
Right. Just got integrated.
But we have Georgian words for everything. And obviously they are not all Georgian, and so the root of it might come from Turkey, and some of the words root might come from like Armenia, but like the roots, yes, but it's still a different language, and majority of the words are not similar to any other language.
Haha. So what's rap like?
Rap? Yeah. Yes, we have Georgian rappers. Yes, we have Georgian rappers as well.
I would love to hear some Georgian rap sometime. That just to hear all the words coming out so fast, like it's got to be impressive.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite Georgia rapper?
No. You won't see a lot of Georgian rappers. We have just one very famous rapper who is not rapping anymore, I think.
Oh, man. But the most famous one quit. He retired.
Maybe retired. Who knows? You cannot make a lot of money if you're a singer here. So it's not like even if you're a really good rapper, you won't get rich. Like in the United States, you know?
But maybe Spotify, you could, you know, blow up a little. Who knows?
Oh, now, yes. I have no idea. I never thought about that. Maybe if I ever see someone who is trying to rap, I would tell them Spotify.
Get on Spotify.
Get on Spotify.
Share your dope Georgia rhymes with the world, man. Or lady. Yeah. Or lady.
We have some Georgian women rappers as well before. It was very popular.
What is popular music over there?
Georgian music? Yes, we have a lot of songs.
Is it more traditional still?
Yes, a majority of the people really enjoy traditional songs. But people like the younger generation mostly listen to the English songs or Russian songs. Yes, right. Everyone has phones. Everyone has like
Russian rap. So. Russian rap big over there.
I like Russian rap as well.
I've actually heard some really good Russian rap.
Yes.
They get down. And there's a gay Russian group that like raps and like hates Putin. And they're probably like on a death list somewhere, but they're badass. I can't think of their name.
You said death list?
Right. Like, you know, because Putin and Russia generally, you know. Aren't embracing of other types of, you know, love or
yes,
reality,
I get it.
Right? So, but
no, freedom of word.
Yeah, and there's another punk band of girls that are pretty adamantly go to hell, Putin. But and their songs are really good. They're really good songs.
If they ever go missing, we know why.
Mm-hmm. Right, Anthony Bourdain. I have a whole thing about that, but it's not real. I think Putin killed Bourdain because he was a fan, and then when he talked trash about him on a show, then he was like, "Yeah, hang that guy."
I won't be surprised.
Yeah, me neither. No one else has that theory. That's just my theory. That's not the second time I've said it on the show. I should probably stop saying it out loud.
If you go missing, we know why.
If I go missing, you know why now too. Dun,
dun, dun. I hope you're not. We just like knock on the wood. If we say something that we don't want to happen, it's like nope.
Whew, dodging that bullet or dodging the noose. Anyway. Oh man. this is turned into a, if you had to have anything, if you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would be that one thing? If you had to eat the one thing every day.
Raspberries.
Raspberries.
Raspberries, yes.
Mm, or they're delightful.
Or what is it called? Like, is it called blackberry?
Blackberries, yeah.
The round ones.
Oh, grapes?
No.
Blueberries.
Blueberry, yes.
Blueberries. In the muffins and the pancakes.
Yes, I would do blueberries, not raspberries. I would do blueberries because they are more easy to digest.
and they're healthier for you, actually. Well, blueberries, yes, are a superfood.
Yes. Yes, they are superfood. So I would eat that, but as a in terms of meal, do you want me to say meal too?
I mean, raspberries was adorable first, and then the blueberries is cool too. But sure, okay. Go for it.
In terms of meal. Should it be one ingredient? No, it's a meal. It doesn't have to be one ingredient. Okay, I would choose something that has a lot of vegetables inside and also protein.
Borscht.
We also do this. It's called like saucy, which is, it's not, it's, it has some, it's not like a soup, but it has its own, not juice, because juice is very thin. It's like, is there any other word you can give me for like, it's like a
gravy
sauce.
Gravy,
like gravy, you know? Yes. And it's like potatoes inside, cut and boiled potatoes, meat, vegetables, herbs, roast. And spices.
Yeah, like a a pot roast.
Yes, but it has a lot more sauce still inside. Mm-hmm. Less than soup.
Yeah.
And I would choose that because it has also vegetables, potato, carbs, mm-hmm. and also meat inside. So I would choose something.
You're just trying to find the perfectly balanced meal to eat every day.
Yes, but and also one of my favorite dishes is like khinkali, which is dumplings, Georgian dumplings, but it tastes different than any other dumplings you have eaten. And also acharuli khachapuri. Do you remember how you told the khachapuri is like cheese inside the mm-hmm. Dough? But this one is like, it has like this shape and it's open. So you put cheese and egg on top of it and the butter, and then you mix it and then you eat it. Oh my God, it's delicious.
That sounds so good. We say the name of it one more time, and then I want to try to say the name of this cheese bread.
Acharuli khachapuri. Let me find the picture of it, because oh my God.
Khachapuri. Hachapole. Damn it.
No. Okay, I found the picture. I don't know if you can see it.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna try to. I'm waiting for the connection. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's like a It's okay. it's like a breakfast, not a quiche, but like a oh, it looks really good. I see coffee shops making those now. Like,
really?
Uh huh. Not with the egg, but like they'll do it like more like fruit Danish style. But there is a coffee shop that will put the egg, and they do like a savory one. They put like a sausage inside of it too.
And this is like Georgian dumplings.
Well, Georgian dumplings.
And you eat them with a hand, and it has a juice inside. And when you just take a bite, you still have to first drink the juice and then eat the food, but with the hand.
Right or left? Right or left?
No rules. Doesn't matter. You can obviously eat with the fork as well, but like, you know, the traditional, it's like you eat it with the hand.
Yeah, it's no fun to use a fork. Jeez. If you're allowed to eat with your hands, you should always take the opportunity to do so.
Yes, because our hands can, like, actually, if you eat with the hands, like, it has its own energetical vibration and intellect. So if you feel the food, you can feel if it's good for you and your body as well, and if you would have a good feeling after eating it.
That's why Ethiopians are so healthy.
Yep.
And
they eat with the hand.
They do, and they have the magical bread that nobody else can make. So, like, they're the only ones that can do it.
I would like to taste their bread.
Have you ever had Ethiopian, eaten in an Ethiopian restaurant?
I think I was once in Minneapolis, but I don't remember.
They have the bread, and they roll it up into like a little roll, right? So then they'll just have all these little rolls of bread, and you take your little roll of bread, and you just use the bread to like dip all the foods with the bread.
And it's I'm not sleeping anymore.
It's like a
huge pancake.
It's like a huge pancake, and it's got all these like bubbles and holes in it. Like it's all aerated. Like it's almost impossible to like try to make it home. But like, yeah,
I'm hungry now.
Look into it. I'm sorry. Just have a midnight snack and just go to bed.
I still have time because it's like 7:45 p.m., 4:46 p.m. here.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
So I still have I still have time to eat some grandma's food.
There you go. Go say hi to grandma for me, too.
I will.
Awesome. All right. You want to shout out where people can find you and your book again real quick?
So the best place to find me and the information about me is like to go on annirich.com, A-N-I-R-I-C-H.com. And I have all the information there. I'm also a life coach, a yoga teacher. I don't know. I love people. I love talking to people, having friends in different parts of the world and the universe. And they can buy my book on Amazon if they want to.
You hear that? You don't have to, but if you would like to, you can get Annie Rich's book on Amazon. And you can listen to her her podcast.
Everywhere where you can listen to the podcast.
Anywhere and everywhere. Positively Rich with Annie Rich. All right, Annie. Well, it's been a lovely hanging out with you again. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night. And
thank you so much for having me, for your time. I just really enjoyed this conversation. Filled with love.
Filled with love. All good things.
Yes.
All good things. All right, everyone. Annie Rich. Yay. If you haven't already, please go watch my TV show. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Cheers. That was fun.
That's fun.
Yeah.
This was one of the most fun interviews I ever done.
And we don't always know what we're going to talk about, but it all seems to fit somehow.